Hello, I'm Sam Clements, and welcome to this special Picture House podcast to celebrate the release of the new film Adrift in cinemas right now. Adrift is the new film from director Baltasar Kormákur, who you might remember from Everest, which came out a few years ago. He also made his Hollywood debut with Two Guns, but before that has a long career of working in Icelandic cinema. His new film, Adrift, stars Shailene Woodley, who also serves as producer on the film, and Sam Claflin, who came on board reportedly after Miles Teller dropped out. A bit of gossip for you. On this podcast, we are joined by Baltasar, Shailene, and Sam to talk about Adrift. The film had just opened in America and Iceland at the time, and it's a chat with all three of them, so a lot of voices, including my own. Adrift is based on the true story of Tammy Ashcroft, who was sailing from Tahiti to Florida in the 80s with her boyfriend Richard, and on the journey, on the very long journey, they're sailing a small luxury yacht, and they encounter a huge hurricane which causes a great storm, and the boat is left wrecked, and they have to navigate their way back or decide what to do with none of the sort of usual resources or capabilities on their ship. And Tammy learns to come into her own based on a true story, which I hadn't heard of before doing this interview, and it was really fascinating to watch the film and then read up on the true lives of the characters we see in the film. So anyway, without further ado, I will pass over to Baltasar, Shailene, and Sam. And whilst the film is quite a harrowing experience, it is also a really heartwarming love story. The shoot sounds like it was a blast. The way they describe shooting on location, it sounds like a total dream. It was really nice to hear them reminisce. So yes, Sam, Shailene, and Baltasar.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
So great, yeah. Good.
Thank you so much for talking to us today, everybody. It's kind of a treat doing this on a Sunday. Appreciate you giving up your time, especially with England playing at the moment.
Don't. I'm still bitter.
Are they still
about
playing?
No, they finished.
It's not that exciting anymore.
Like, well, it was never going to be exciting. I think it was always going to be
exciting. Don't be arrogant. Never going to be that exciting. You lost to Iceland only like, what, 2 years ago? So don't be arrogant. You're winning those little nations all the time. I hope we are on.
Well, nobody's talking about how America is, but that's okay.
That's right. You'll host a World Cup next time, I think.
Is that right? Oh my God.
America isn't in the World Cup this year, and yet we're hosting the next World Cup.
Yeah, I hope we qualify for that one.
I mean, that's hilarious.
That's
right?
The only way they can qualify is to host it, right?
Wait, are you automatically qualified?
Yeah, yeah.
You get a free pass.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah.
Way. Well done, you guys.
It seems unfair to me.
Well, it could, you know, embarrassing, you know, if they wouldn't be in their own.
Everyone's just taking over.
In addition to the excitement of the World Cup, there is, of course, the exciting movie Adrift, coming to cinemas across the UK next week on the 29th of June. I think the film's already opened in the States, hasn't it? How's it been hearing from, you know, real-life audiences in the wild?
Well, it's been, you know, fantastic. When we've done, you know, I haven't done many Q&As, but, you know, like I've shown it also opened in Iceland and other places, and very emotional, you know, respond. You know, I think unusually emotional, at least to my experience.
When I saw this film the other night, there were a couple of scenes where there were sort of audible gasps, and I always feel like if I was one of the filmmakers, I'd go, yes, got me.
Well, I think a few people who have come in and said, oh, I was in tears, or I was in bits, or I think there is a sort of a sigh of relief and a fist pump that comes out of that. But it's always a strange feeling. I've done a few films in my career thus far that have been tear jerkers. I hate celebrating that people are crying, but at the same time, you know, it means that we've done our job. Because for me, when I read the script initially, you know, I was moved to tears. So I feel like in making sure that is still very much a part of this experience, that's a positive.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and there's also, I think, and I hope people experience that, there's kind of there's hope, and there's a free spirit and a victory also to the film. So it's not only kind of sad drama, you know, and there's excitement, you know, there's huge waves, and, you know, there's a lot to take from it. And yeah, though it has a kind of a emotional core.
Absolutely. There's this beautiful romance at the core of it, which makes you really invested in the characters. I mean, it's so important to sort of set those stakes before anything might go wrong at sea. In terms of preparing for the sort of romance side, Sam and Shailene, how did you get to know each other, and how did you prepare for the you know, the bits off the boat.
Yeah, well, Sam and I met a few years ago and had a great conversation that I don't remember. and Sam does remember.
Yeah.
no, but we, I mean, pretty much from day one when we met in Fiji, we kind of just had a natural rapport between the two of us. And filming in Fiji, filming on an island where you are so far away from your family, your friends, and your daily lifestyle and reality, you're kind of forced to get close in a way to those around you because they become your family, your temporary family while you're away from home. And, you know, we see the world in similar ways and we have similar beliefs and similar senses of humor. And also the way that we act is very similar. You know, we have, I think, very similar acting styles. And it all just lended to us becoming good buddies along the way. You know, I think we were able to create this amazing chemistry on screen and pay tribute to these characters. But also, like, I feel like I got an amazing friend out of this movie. And that's, you know, in so many ways, you can't always say that after you finish a film.
I think, in all honesty, I think the amazing thing that Shailene has is that she hugs people more than there's a handshake. So there was an immediate icebreaker, you know, her coming over and giving me a big cuddle. And I was like, oh, wow, we're there already. Cool. You know, there's none of that formal kind of handshake, nice to meet you, and that kind of awkwardness. It was just kind of immediate ease and warmth. And I think that's testament to her.
And so the film was shot in Fiji and it looks absolutely incredible. But how did you find your shooting location? Because I guess you need certain things to go into a film like this.
Yeah, well, the story takes place in Tahiti and mostly on the Pacific Ocean. For me, it was logistically almost impossible to make it work in Tahiti. It's so far out from anything. And there's not much of infrastructure or equipment or crew to work there. I'm sure there are good people. I don't want to put that down. But in this level of filmmaking, we needed to take a lot from New Zealand, which is closer to Fiji. And then we could use Fiji as to stand in for, in some way, for Tahiti and also be on the Pacific Ocean, which is very important to me. There's just some elements that I didn't want to fake. I didn't want to be in Malta and do it. But the color is different. It's just a different feeling. So I went around the world, by the way, to choose it. And it's not only, it's try to be as authentic as possibly you can. At the same time, it has to work out financially, you know, and physically. The whole thing has to come together. So this was the best choice. And if you can get bored in a helicopter, you know, that's what we did. We went around every spot on Fiji on a helicopter way before, you know, you guys came even. And I was like, get me out of that chopper, you know, like it was 10 hours in a chopper. It's like flying to America in a chopper, you know. So we scouted the whole place. And in the end, you know, there's a lot of, again, the Suva, which is the capital of Fiji, was actually pretty close to Papeete, you know, which is the capital of Tahiti. And we could find places that worked really well similarly. And then we did some adding to a couple of things. But, and then the water stuff was all about the logic on the water, how you can actually shelter yourself when the sea is too rough and go out to find the waves when you need them. And at the same time, feel the depth of the blue water and not be too close to and then there are reefs and it's all, and then we're on the north side. So it's quite a challenge. You think it's going to be easy because, Fiji is just a little island and you can do everything there. But it was actually logistically quite complicated. Then we needed to go to New Zealand and do some of the stage work there.
Well, I assume that's the slightly more intense scenes maybe on the stages.
There was the stuff that you cannot do without people, put people in harm's way, which is not what I want to do. I want to push them to the limit, but never put people in harm's way. And also, it's very important to me when I made those films, because I made a few of them, Deep, the Everest, and this one, who have this kind of man against nature and this woman against nature, more than man against nature. And I think in it's very important to me to create a baseline and start out there with the actors and work through that. And then when you have to do the studio stuff, you do that towards the end, because the actor can always draw from their experience having been on the water for 6 weeks and get to that same place. And as an actor, that I feel that that is much better than the other way around, you know. And I also do feel when you cast Mother Nature into one of the main roles, you have to give it a fair chance. You can't just have it a VFX, you know, casting, or a studio, you know, you actually give it the respect and work it from there, because there's, you can never get those details and these elements just by doing afterwards or posting it in, you know.
Every time there was an aerial shot of the boat, I was just sort of in awe, you know, that it's miles and miles of blue around it. It's really beautiful.
Yeah, which is kind of what we, you know, like, for example, the first shot, it goes from claustrophobia to agoraphobia, you know, in one shot. And I think that's a terrifying feeling. And we have had the great Bob Richardson, one of the best DPs in the world, to shoot this. And you know, use every opportunity. And we wanted to be close to the characters, but at the same time, I wanted to make a sweeping, epic feeling to it as well. So there's a reason to go to the cinema to see it, you know. So it's not just you know, kind of the easiest way, you know, all shot from the boat.
Absolutely. What do you, Sam and Shailene, remember about the those shooting days at sea? How do you get to work in the morning? Is it quite a long commute to get out to that part where you actually are shooting?
It would vary. I mean, sometimes it'd be 30 minutes on a speedboat, and sometimes I think the longest was almost 2 hours on a speedboat to get to work in the morning. And then getting home sometimes would be even longer, because the boat would have drifted throughout the day and the current would have taken us further from shore. But
or because someone left you out there?
Or because we got left out there. There were challenging days, of course. And, you know, when you are working with Mother Nature, it requires that patience, and you can't control any element. But it's kind of hard to complain or even talk about the challenges when you get to see the sunrise and the sunset from the ocean every single day. And when you get to be out and see with these people who have dramatically changed your life just by being adventurous and committed and passionate about their work and what they do. And oftentimes on a film set, your job is very insular. You know, if you're a grip, you handle your equipment. If you're a costumer, you handle the clothes. On this movie, everyone was helping each other because we kind of had to, in order for us all to be able to survive and get through the process in a safe manner. And that was really remarkable to see how willing and genuinely careful everybody was of each other's experiences.
And I think even on those hard days, the one thing that was easy to never forget was the fact that these people lived this experience, you know, like the characters we were portraying actually went through this and weren't able to kind of get off the boat at the end of the day. So I think any time it felt like we felt low or felt tired, you know, it was always a gentle reminder that put everything back into perspective for us. But really, like, we were in a beautiful location with, you know, beautiful, beautiful people, and like it never felt too difficult, and there was so much humour generally between all of us. Like, I think we kind of kept things light, even though it felt heavy at times. But we also knew when to work when we needed to. So it was a great balance.
How easy was it to sort of have downtime between shots or to sort of get ready? Were you, because I guess, you know, there isn't really anywhere you could walk off to.
I've definitely been on jobs where between every take, you know, you go back to your trailer, and it's usually, yeah, the atmosphere on a set is usually set by the lead actor. And I think the fact is we had no trailers to go to, but also I think even if we had, like, I think we were constantly relying on the weather and cloud cover and the winds changing and the current, and we were kind of constantly on call just in case that something shifted all of a sudden. And it did so often. We had to be very flexible in the order of scenes. And if all of a sudden a storm started coming in or like the clouds started covering, we'd then go to, you know, the build up to the storm, or, and then the sun would come back out. So then we'd go post storm, you know, we kind of flipping in and out as and when we needed to. And I think the only way we could do that is if everyone, no matter what department you were at, everyone was ready all the time. And I think we were really lucky to have a very, very hardworking and ready crew.
There's a couple of quite crucial sort of sunset, sunrise scenes in the story. How did you capture those? It looks so good on the big screen.
It wasn't easy because, you know, you get a window of 20 minutes and we had to go back to it, you know, a couple of times to be
the sunset red scene four times.
Yeah. So we're like, okay, we end the day with doing that, and it is, you know, makeup, and, you know, then maybe you're going from a scene where it's quite different, and also the actors have to be very confident in being able to get that mood straight into the same mood and do it again. And when you have good people, they can, and they won't be any different from day to day. You know, they know how to get into the mindset of it, and I, you know, that's how we did it, just by and picking up in pieces. You're humbled by nature in a way, and you have to let it work with it instead of trying to fight against it, you know. And it's such a good experience for anything in life, by the way, to go with the what you're offered and flow instead of try to get what you wish for only, you know, like, and I think in some ways you're removed from reality, you're removed from nature, and when you can just control it, you know. And I think often what you're offered is more interesting than you made up in your head, because it becomes a bit contrived and everything is kind of, and I think that this life is more interesting, you know.
Absolutely. Well, another scene that I've sort of had a similar thought during was when you sort of jump off the cliff to swim in the lake. And I did not expect that camera move. That was breathtaking. Is that an example of that where you adapt, or was that in the screenplay?
No, there was a lot of adapting there, because actually we chose a place and there was quite difficult to get up there. And it was a huge ordeal both getting with the crew. But just 2 days before, or a few days before we were about to shoot, they tell me we can't jump over what we decided.
Because the river
had gone down. So even that is changing. Nothing in nature stays the same, you know. And then the water is too dark, or you can't, you know, because there's been raining and the river goes up and all these elements that you're constantly dealing with. But this is something we really wanted to do, to create a shot. And this is, I love doing these things that where the audience go, oh, like, I didn't expect that. And in a simple scene like that, it's a playfulness, you know. And it's also partly these long shots for me is to place you almost in the, is not as you call a POV, because that's what you see, but it still feels like a perspective, because you're there with the person and you're not cutting away and all over the place. You're just kind of floating through things with the characters, and it gives you a different feeling. And that's what I, you know, like the first shot in the movie, this shot. And you just feel like you jumped in that river. The audience actually gets to jump with you, and then you're half in, half out, so you almost feel wet after watching it. And this is the way I feel. Things get visceral, and you get a deeper feeling of what it is that they're doing.
How do you approach a scene like that, where you have to, you know, do something quite physical?
Hey, that day was one of the best memories.
It was very special.
Just to even get to our shooting location, I remember we arrived at like 6 a.m., 5 a.m. after going through hair and makeup, and the whole crew was in life jackets and hard hats, and they handed me and Sam a life jacket and a hard hat, put us in a circle with everybody, and had a big safety meeting about what happens when you fall out of the raft, because we will be white water rafting down some rapids in order to get to our shooting location. And granted, the rapids weren't huge, but we got paid to do what I've paid to do in my life, which is go on a white water raft adventure. And it was like a 20-minute walk to even get to the river through the jungle with men in front of us with machetes in case, you know, a plant had grown out overnight. And then getting on the raft with all of the wardrobe bags and the grip equipment and rafting down this river. And the cliff that we jumped off we were told it was like 50 feet, which is quite high. And it was only maybe 30, 20.
Because that was the one we couldn't go to. I was going to make you jump way higher.
But I mean, it looks really high, but it wasn't that high. It was just a beautifully fun experience. And then to get home at the end of the night, we had to walk up the river. Our stunt team had
against the
rapids. It was amazing. Our stunt team had choreographed this ropes course, basically, and we had to hold on to ropes and hoist ourselves up. I mean, it was just...
But the most dangerous moment was when I jumped on top of you, wasn't it?
If you made Bolt do the jump with us at the end of the day.
And I had a feeling that he was going to jump, and I was like, Bolt, jump this direction, and I'll go, I got it. No, listen. I got it. Okay.
Of course, sure, I jumped right on top of her.
You're just selling me what sounds like a great holiday.
But that, truthfully, that's kind of how it felt, especially the beginning moments. There was a little island called Yanutha, and we were based there quite a while, and it was the most stunning kind of deserted island, pretty much. And there was like a surf school where we kind of set up base camp, and every day we were anchored out in the bay, but like every day we'd sort of all swim to the shore.
It was an ex surf school. There wasn't like an after.
Yeah, it was abandoned.
Like nobody
you could
was
buy
there.
It for $10,000. Yeah. I think they were saying, but the problem is there's no running water. So, but
or
I think
electricity.
It was just an incredible experience. Every day, all the crew were going for a swim in the ocean, and you know. But then I think those moments of like that made it so memorable and so special also kind of revitalized everyone, recharged the batteries, so that when we kind of went back from lunch, I'm so used to kind of finishing a lunch break on a film set, and there's a real lull in like the productivity. And I think with this job, it never felt like that. Actually having these really amazing lunch breaks and the opportunity to kind of have play, I suppose, And because of the location and because of the people, there was just such a sense of adrenaline, exhilaration every time we'd finished a lunch break. So it kind of, it brought out the best in everyone, I think.
Sounds like a great way that everybody should try and approach their work.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, like just to make sure, it was a really hard work, you know, because there were days that were gruelingly difficult, but this is like more like the fun moment, you know, and deservingly, I think so.
When the storm hits, I found it so stressful just sat in the auditorium. You use that long take at the beginning of the movie, but then there's also a scene later on where the set sort of flips upside down.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you stage that, and how do you work?
Well,
in that,
it was very technical, you know, and it needed a lot of thinking because again, we've seen those scenes, you know, in the perfect storm, like cut around and do this. But what me and Bob really wanted to achieve, and Daddy, you know, is our visual effect supervisor, is a brilliant guy as well. It was to create this feeling that you're stuck in on the boat with him, you know, and you go down in the galley when it starts turning, and then you, like, it's a different perspective and much more in it. And I wanted to create that kind of feeling, but it took a lot. And this is quite technically done, you know, a little of that is on the water in reality. But because you create a baseline, it's easier to connect it to reality instead of everything is built like that. You know, the way the actors had to be very precise about where we are, and we go down, and then, you know, we needed a stuntie, of course. That's the only time we use a stuntie in the movie. Because Shailene basically did all of her underwater stuff, which I think was quite amazing. I mean, you almost a whole day under a 55-footer working, you know, with no air. So, but that, you know, when we actually broke one collarbone of a stuntie doing that, you know, sorry to say. Wasn't my fault.
What's it like acting underwater, like doing those scenes? You've got those amazing fishing scenes where you have that. It's quite a nifty harpoon action.
Yeah, I got to learn to spearfish. It was pretty great. I loved it. I love the water. I love the water. Those were my favorite days. I remember we'd be on the boat. And I'm like, Balt, she needs to go in the water today, right? And he'd be like, no, not today.
I have to say, I was very, and I'm not saying this only to, you know, to blow smoke up. You know, I was amazed of her performance in the water, you know, like having an actor willing and being able to do that much work in the water. I was amazed. It's not a given, to be honest.
For me, though, it's not fair. I love the water. Like, if I could be a mermaid, I would be. I love. So it was a dream job for me to be able to swim and just swim, I guess, just dive. And I just,
based on the experience of this movie, when will you next get back on a boat?
I'd get on a boat.
Yeah, I'd get on a boat tomorrow. Like, I enjoyed this experience. This was definitely the first time I'd ever been properly sailing and out far enough that I couldn't see land anymore. And I think there's something slightly terrifying about that. Like the big bad ocean. I'd never do the sail around the world type thing. I don't think I'm cut out for that. But I definitely think boating and sailing generally, the ocean, like I fell in love during this job, for sure. Whether I'd ever buy myself one, I don't know. Doubtful.
I'll buy you one.
That'd be great.
I was actually thinking about buying the one we trust, but we trusted too much to buy it. I love sailing, and I sailed as a kid. I was a competitive sailor, and I can't wait to get with my boys on the water. I have like a 16 and 18-year-old, and the girls as well, but they're older. But I really want to get them on a boat. They love it too, and it's just. But I love the smaller boats, like two-handers, you know, that's the fun.
No, thank you. I will get on a jet ski any day, or give me a boat with a fast motor and I'm
I'll
down.
Take you out on a fast, fast sailing boat.
No, I hanging want a motor. I don't want to be on
trapeze,
the side.
Hanging on a trapeze and you'll love it.
Maybe when the next film.
When it starts planning, there's nothing like it.
No.
Oh, yeah, you will love it.
Thank you so much for talking to us today. Can't wait to play Adrift in our cinemas and see it on that big screen. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You have been listening to the Picture House podcast, a Picture House's production brought to you by Picture House Cinemas. We would like to thank everyone who works at Picture House Cinemas and everyone who has ever attended a screening of a film at a Picture House cinema. Thanks for listening, and see you next week.